Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon Out of a Cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
Lulu Simon.
Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy, Cease, and Desisto. We love you guys.
Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam, as usual. You can find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast. And here I am with Ben Mandelker, my little bestie. You can find him on The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm just, you know, coasting off of the triple high of drinking iced coffee, having listened to Carly Rae Jepsen, and having watched the Southern Charm finale.
Oh, my God. You're officially the gayest person in your building right now, at least. I won't say the city, but...
I don't know. There's someone on the second floor who's pretty gay, I have to say.
Can he compete with a Southern Charm and Carly Rae Jepsen morning?
Carly Rae Jepsen iced coffee Bravo TV morning? I don't know. Yeah, maybe if he's having anal sex.
Oh, okay. On that note, let's sell you some stuff. Some nice talk about some butt sex. Okay, everybody. Our live shows, we're going back out in September, and we're going to have a crazy fall. Hey, it's going to be nuts. So here's where we're going. I almost spit. I almost gleeked all over the camera. This is going to be a disgusting episode,
now?
Okay? Yeah, I know who's gayer now. The guy who can't gleek, I mean, who can't stop gleeking, or the guy who listened to Carly Rae and watched Southern Charm in the same morning. Okay, here's our live shows. If you want tickets, go to watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you'll find our merch links, okay? We've got 3 t-shirts up. We've got Season 1 Camille, Demoted to Friend Of, and Resting Hanai Face. Plus, our Trixie Monocle shirt is still up there. And Watch What Crappens shirts, if you so desire. Those are going to change next week at some point. Not promising when, okay? It depends on how lazy of a weekend I have. Mm-hmm. And what else can you get over there? Our bonus episodes. This week we did Instant Hotel. Last week we did House Hunters. There have been really fun bonus episodes lately. Those are at the cheapest level. We've also got videos that we do twice a week. This recap is a video. Hi, everybody on video. You can watch those on your smart TV or whatever. There's a ton of those in there. So just go be a Patreon person. How about that? Okay, yeah. Now listen for your city, because here they come. We just announced Tampa and Houston, so go get tickets for those. But then here are the regular ones. Ready? Charlotte and Nashville will both be in September. So go get your tickets, Charlotte and Nashville. What the heck? We're coming in a second. Then we've got Atlanta, Carborough, Richmond, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Chicago, New York, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Houston. Whoa!
Whoa.
And just so you guys know, we are going to be in Chicago during BravoCon. So that's our special little Crappens Con. So come to Chicago for that. And then the week after BravoCon, we are going to be in New York City for 2 weeks. So, you know, if you don't get tickets for that, screw those guys. Come see us. We're going to have a really fun time.
Yeah. Don't feel bad about missing BravoCon, because you've got us, guys, your favorite Bravo podcast.
BenronCon.
Also, another thing is with the Houston show, as of right now, the site is actually showing that it's sold out. But we are getting to the bottom of whether or not there are going to be more tickets released or not. We're not sure if it was just like a certain amount that were on the pre-sale, and then the rest are going on sale on Friday. We're not sure. So everyone just like gird your loins, because who knows. But for right now, Houston looks like it's sold out. Yeah. And so thank you guys, by the way. That's awesome. That's crazy.
I know. That would be crazy if it is sold out. Here we are with the finale of Southern Charm.
Southern Charm.
Hi.
So Southern Charm. That like, leads you up to this huge scene happening. It's like someone doing their nails.
Yeah, exactly. Or in this case, the episode opens up with Catherine at Gwyn's one last time for the season. And, you know, with Catherine, you never really know what sort of look you're going to get. And today's look was the crazy red lip. Every now and then, she just likes to do, like, the big, like, clown lips. And she just has, like, that lipstick that's just, like, that is, like, big. And she's just walking around Gwyn's. And you just can see that Madison, like, Gwyn's Madison, Gwyn, basically, she's just looking at Catherine like, oh my God, your lipstick is crazy right now.
Please don't try on any pullover tops.
Yeah.
You know? Like when you're in Ross and you see like ladies' tops, they've just got lipstick. Because people with a lot of makeup come in and they're like, oh see how this shirt feels all over my body.
Yeah, it's like when Barbara goes in.
Yeah, spray tan everywhere. And she's wearing a big sweater dress type thing that says extra, extra, extra. It just makes me feel, it just makes me imagine her as like a newspaper girl in the 20s, you know, like extra, extra. Like, why didn't you sell any papers, kid? It's like, I tried, I swear.
Truman loses extra, extra.
So yeah, we're at Gwyn's, and Gwyn is like, oh my God, we got in some Gucci and Tom Ford to start, so let's just start with 50 shades. And she's like, of gray. She's like, of Gucci. So then Patricia comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I always think it's funny watching Patricia walk into like normal people places, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's like,
it just doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you doing here? Like, when she puts Instagrams of herself at a Costco, I'm like...
Right. You can even see that she's, like, a little bit on high alert. She's sort of, like, walking through, trying to be casual. I walk into Gwyn's all the time. Is this where you are supposed to put your feet? Is there like, a cocktail that's coming my way? Where do I...
Michael, give this girl Gwyn a dollar. Will that do it, honey? Give her two.
It's like they're not all homeless, Patricia, okay?
Gwyn, can you direct me to your antique elephant clock section, please?
I haven't been around homeless people who haven't tried to entertain me in years. This is the worst homeless encampment I've ever been to. It's like, ma'am, this is actually a retail store.
Can you show me where your violin quartet is housed? No, it's not here. Okay.
So yeah. Let's see. So they start gossiping, of course. They're looking for shoes, and Catherine's like, I got these in and I thought of you. Oh, darling.
I would never buy those for myself. But that is sweet. And she basically, they start talking about Madison, because Catherine's going to be going with Madison and Hunter, her new boyfriend, to this party. And they're just talking about Madison and Shep and this whole situation. And Patricia says that basically, Shep pushed Madison too far and then was surprised that she actually stood up for herself, unlike apparently every other woman in Shep's life.
Yes. And Catherine's like, he's just too mad at her. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. And pulls her face. And Patricia's like, well, years ago, Madison told me that Shep said, when you get divorced, I want to be your first call.
Yeah.
It's like years ago. I love that Patricia's acting like they've been friends since the Revolutionary War, you know?
I know. Before, when Madison went off to fight the Great War of Northern Aggression, she told me that when I come back, Shep will be waiting in the window for me with a candle. So, so she says this. Patricia, like, gives this, like, little bit of gossip. And then Catherine goes, typical, I don't know. She goes, typical, I don't know how I didn't put that together. And I just love that she was wearing a shirt that said extra, extra, as she's extra, extra. Oh, I get it now. Figured it out.
Well, I don't know if he resents that she's with Austin or what, but I'll tell you what I resent. Poor people shoes. Please get those out of my face.
Looks like you have two blowfish on your feet right now with all those spikes. What's going on down there?
So Catherine's like, yeah, oh, and by the way, Ashley. And Patricia's like, so, Ashley, tell me. I'm dying to know. You know, you can't beat Jimmy Choo. So she's,
you literally can't beat him. I tried to take a stick to his head, and turns out you're not allowed to do that.
He walks around in a glass case. I've tried to beat him for years.
So she's like, well, I'll tell you something. After y'all talk, Shep heard Ashley say to her friends that Catherine will never get custody of the children. Dun dun dun.
And that's why I'm not buying the new Ashley who wants to be pals with everyone. I'm also not buying anything in this poor person store, so we can leave now.
So, she's saying that Ashley was bullying her. Ashley started bullying her. She's like, I'm not buying this. She wants to get back at me because I've given her a hard time on social media. I started striking back when she started bullying me.
Could you imagine Patricia in the Trevor Project videos? Just like,
I don't know who this Trevor is, but I'll tell you what makes it better, kids. Martinis.
Dressing it gets drinks. Better once you have a large mansion in the South.
It gets better around the fourth husband or so. Right, darling?
So, yeah, she's like, Ashley's been saying things that haven't been true. She's been defaming me, but I'm no shrinking violet. She's ill-equipped to get into that kind of warfare with me, which is why I sent a particularly pointed gif of Heathcliff the cat saying meow to her.
Who's the Odie now?
That's why I sent her a gif of Garfield jumping into a box and saying time for lasagna. Yeah.
I love Patricia's LOL moments, because she just stares at the camera and she goes, ha. Like, that's like R O F L, you know.
it's like a different variation on on like Kate Chastain, right?
Yes.
Kate Chastain gives a ha. Ha. But she gives a ha.
So then let's go over to Austin's house and this new shit stirrer Bailey, who's just going to show up everywhere to shit stir for 2 seconds and then go somewhere to watercolor something.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I haven't been on the whole season, but I'm coming for the second to last episode and the last episode just to start some shit and bye. See you in 3 years.
Just putting my name in the hat for next season. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, so impressed that Austin finally got off of his bedroom floor. He was doing dishes in his kitchen as opposed to knocking cups of water over on his carpet and going, shit, this is insane right now. It's insane.
I know. I didn't even know where we were. He wasn't on the floor with a cup of coffee on a carpet that couldn't take a cup of coffee.
I know. It was so weird. Yeah. So Bailey shows up and, you know, she's going to be going to Patricia's big party. And I guess Austin asks, like, who is Shep taking? And Bailey's just like, and it just sort of like cuts away from her, you know, because she knows everything.
Just because this is a video recap, I have to add that Austin's like, so I wish we had more time at the fox hunt. Like, does a full tongue he's beating, like, against his mouth moment.
He's like excavating any spare pieces of cream cheese that may have fallen in his lower lip that morning. He's like, oh, I think he really gets right on in there.
Mm-hmm. And she's now we like, go. He said, well, are you going to go with Shep? And she's like, no, but I mean, he will be there.
And he's like, who's Shep taking? Dun, dun, dun.
And then we go to the Willow Salon, the finest hair salon east of whatever is the next building over. So her Willow Salon, and Shep, you know, he walks in to get his daily haircut from Chelsea. And they start talking about the party. And he's like, oh, I thought it was cocktail attire. I don't want to wear tux. Yeah. She's like very insolent this episode.
My date to the big party at Pat's is Chelsea. Not you, gosh. She's the girl that was on the couch when Madison busted in on Austin.
And cue the video. Madison, you're insane. You're an insane person right now. Grab my boner. Insane.
Yeah, and it was like the special extended clip because the editors were like, God, we're not going to be able to show this for another year. Let's make it the hour-long version of Austin pulling on his dick and running around the house.
Yeah, it's like when they show like the full end credits at the end of the NFL season because there are no more games left, so they give like everyone finally credit on the production crew. That's what it felt like, if I can talk in football speak for a second. You know, as long as we're, you know, we have a show about straight people, so
completely it helps me.
Yeah.
I started right. Like seeing like the, you know, sugar plum fairies dancing around in my head. I was like,
I had to compensate for all my Carly Rae Jepsen talk. So you know, so
there's no recovering from that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what? I support my musical tastes. Just in case
you should
want
never
to know,
apologize for who you love or who you listen to. Okay. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you. So, so Shep, basically, he's taking this Chelsea too, and he wants Craig to take the other girl who was in the video, and our Chelsea's like, okay, sounds like a terrible idea, but what can I do?
Shep has been trying to prove Madison is horrid and horrible and awful, and I think he lost that battle. Why he cares, I don't know. Must be a reason.
She was like sitting on a banjo in her salon. She's like, can you get back to cutting my hair?
Yeah. I like that they're pretending that Shep hit on Madison one time is a big plot twist that nobody sees coming. We've known about this all year. They act like it's something that's going to be uncovered today. But we've already known about that. So she's like, well, have you tried to be with Madison? And he's like, oh, I have a vague memory of meeting her and I guess trying to bang her.
Yeah.
And then we see them talking somewhere where, I don't know, when was this?
It was 4 years ago. They pulled up this footage from 4 years ago of Shep flirting with Madison. And he tries to be flirtatious and she's like, I don't think so. And so who knows? Maybe that was the genesis of this anger.
Also, you know what? I don't think it's even the same Shep. He looks so different then. I mean, he doesn't look particularly young and healthy, but I think that now he's being played by a paper bag. I mean, this is just not the same person. Today, he's just wasted. This last episode, he's just, it's sad. It's sad watching Shep. Like, if Patricia walked in and handed him a dollar, I would totally get it. I'd be like, finally, that insult makes sense, you know?
Yeah, totally.
They show him flirting, and he's like, is that your redneck voice? So, you know, he's always been super classy around Madison.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, when we come out of the flashback, Shep goes, oh, gosh, she wouldn't last 1 second in my world. She's never going to taste mom's meatloaf. I'm like, what is your world? Is that like a world of like waking up on the back of your bar in like a pool of spilled schlitz? What is that?
Yeah. You've got to have a lot of class to have everything be paid for by your parents and like just be a nothing who lays around all day and gets shit-faced. That's like a real rough world to live in. And trust me, aside from the having everything paid by my parents part, I've lived that life, okay? It's not hard to get into. Mm-hmm. Someone with some beer or drugs can get right in. Okay, Shep? Yeah. We're not falling for this. And who cares about your mom's stupid fucking meatloaf, okay?
Yeah.
Mom's meatloaf sucks. If it didn't suck, you'd probably have somebody by now. Your mother sucks, too. She raised you. What do you think of that? I'm hating on Shep's mom. She's like the sweetest lady. Hey, screw you too, Shep's mom.
And let's just not bring meatloaf into this. How about that?
Yeah, hasn't meatloaf gone through enough? You know, you have something in common with meatloaf besides the talent and the amazing singing voice, okay? But your trajectory to hell, your facial trajectory,
That's why am I being mean to Meatloaf? Like, you know what, Chef? You're ruining me. Meatloaf never did anything to me. The meatloaf or the singer.
Chef's gonna release an album called Garsh Out of Hell. Paradise by the Garsh. By the Garsh board lights.
I'd just like to apologize to Meatloaf, who I know is sitting in some convertible somewhere, really upset, listening to this podcast. He's still alive, right?
He is. I would love it if Meatloaf were listening to this podcast. I mean, he write that Celine Dion song?
Come to my window. No.
No, that's Melissa Etheridge. No, the one that's like, it's all coming back to me now. I mean, such a Meatloaf. If he didn't write it, he should sue. Which I'd be totally into. Like a Meatloaf versus Celine Dion lawsuit. Perfect.
I feel like Meatloaf should sing everything. Like, he's got money. He's in magazines. He's got more money than honey on me.
Vomity beep. He takes over Trixie Monocle's job.
He sings everything in minor. Okay, so let's go over to Naomi and her mother.
Okay, so also, by the way, we go back to actually Bailey first, who then tells Austin that drops the bomb that Austin is that Shep is bringing Chelsea, and because basically. Austin's like, so who's Shep bringing? Do I know her? And she's like, yes. He's like, really? She's like, yes. Because she was here, you know, making videos of you while you're having a threesome. It's like, oh, it's insane right now. Insane.
That is insane. He has no shame. He has no shame. And she's like, well, I mean, he must have some kind of relationship with her if he's inviting her. And he's like, yeah, it's called a booty call.
Yeah. You know, Shep claims that Madison is a vindictive and revenge-fueled person, and that's exactly what he's doing right now. He's like, exactly. I mean, it's insane the parallels in this tiff right now. Insane.
So then we go to Naomi and her mom, and they're going to paint the bathroom. The mom's like, I brought the paint. And
she also enters by going, cuckoo, which I appreciated.
Yeah. So they talk about Matul, and, you know, mom knows that it's time to get married because finally Naomi's found somebody with some, you know, ambition and energy. And I just feel bad for Craig as this whole thing is going on, because that was a lot of dinners that Craig had to sit through while the parents were just like, disapproving in their French inside voice, you know.
I know,
like, you've got to be able to hear a French inside voice, because they don't hide it. Like, you see it on their face. You see their face like this, but you hear like in your own head.
This your mailed. Yeah, because the mom Carol goes, she's like, no, your dad and I always knew that you would never settle for someone typical or on rail track. And I'm just she's like, rail track? I'm just imagining, like, Craig being tied up on a railroad track, like an old-time movie. He'd be like, no me. Craig, you got yourself in this mess. You undo it. No me. Craig, there's not even a train on this track, okay? You're at, like, a miniature golf course. No me.
What was that French movie with that Audrey Tautou?
Amélie?
Amélie, yeah. She's like, we see Craig and we think, meet the fuckers. We see Matul, we think, Amélie! I have this little garden gnome I found on my lawn, and then my neighbor found it on her lawn. And we fell in love.
We see Craig and we think, analyze this. We see Matul, we think... We think, chocolate!
So, yeah, they love Matul. And Naomi's trying to play it cool. She's like, yeah, I mean, look. Like, are we thinking about getting married? Of course. Is it going to be tomorrow? No. Is it going to be the next day? Yeah, probably. God, I hope so. God.
Do I want a cupcake? Yes. Will Matul allow me? No. Am I eating it secretly right now? Yes. Will we tell Matul? No. Did I just say it on TV? Yes. Did Matul just break up with me? Yes. Am I going back to Craig now? No.
Yeah, still no. So let's go over to see Eliza. Eliza goes into the salon. I don't know what salon. And she's like, I need some leave help. I need some leave help. And she's got this sweet, I'm sure he's a very sweet gay, but he's wearing jeans up to his rib cage. And I'm not sure how I feel about gays wearing mom jeans, okay?
It's like the Penguin's gay brother.
Yeah. I know it's rough over there in Charleston for you guys, but make an effort.
Waistlines.
Come on, so. You can't wear mom jeans, gays. Come on, we have to have some standards that we keep across all states.
It's true. This is very true. Like, I think everyone should look to Wilson. He is our, like, he's my personal favorite gay on Bravo, and I think that he is really the standard bearer of what we could all be.
Yeah, Wilson. Wilson's pretty cute. So let's go over to, where are we now? Oh, yeah, we're at the salon still. Sorry, I moved on. I was like, that's the only note I took. High-waisted jeans. And this finale is in the can!
Yeah. So Eliza's there being boring, and then Ashley walks in, and they just...
Hi,
I'm so sorry. I just want to forgive... ask you for your forgiveness. It's like, you haven't done anything to me. Oh, just, I'm doing that on spec. Doing it on spec.
Yeah. I'm just practicing. Yeah. On spec. So they start talking. Ashley's like, any fun plans coming up or something? Any fun plans? That would be great. Any fun plans? And Eliza's well, Miss Pat is throwing a cocktail party.
And Ashley's like, huh? Really? And meanwhile, her poor hairdresser, he's like looking, they pan up to him, they tilt up to him, and he's like trying to figure out Ashley's hair, and his eyes are just bulging like, oh my God, this is the greatest professional career I have ever encountered. What do I do with this thing?
Yeah. So they start talking about this party, and Ashley's already in a manic state, you know? She's like, yeah. Well, you know, my problem with Catherine, Chelsea, was listening to Patricia and siding with her instead of Catherine, and I hate her for that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. She's a piece of shit, okay? I'm so regretful that I ever believed that bitch. And the hairdresser was like, oh my God, you have too much hair to be going off like this right now. I need you to be still, okay?
The hairdresser just gives a camera look like, oh, yoink!
He's like all tangled up in her hair at this point. He's like, let me out.
Yeah, he's like, I haven't made this look since I saw my colleague wearing mom jeans at the office today. So she's like, well, I probably wouldn't have said that if she hadn't steered me to saying it. I was doing her dirty work. That's what I was doing. I was doing her dirty work. She was stirring the pot. And then one day she just woke up and said, hey, I'm going to be friends with Catherine now.
Now, Ashley, I hate to break it to you, but have you also considered the idea, as long as you're open to the idea that you have been manipulated, are you open to the idea that, I don't know, maybe it was Thomas who pitched you against Catherine? I don't know. He seems like he has much more of a motive. And it would also make sense that if the reason why Patricia suddenly stopped hating Catherine is because Patricia suddenly had an aha moment where she realized that she too was being manipulated by Thomas. I don't know. Just putting that out there, maybe the guy you're trying to, you know, get with is maybe the guy who's the problem, is the one who's the problem here, not Patricia.
Well, and he's still sending her out to do his dirty work and stuff. I mean, yeah. It's so stupid. So she's like, I don't know why people can't see it. I mean, that bitch called me a gold digger. And then we get the clip of it, which is...
Yeah. And she's like, and Eliza's like, well, no one really has any issues with Patricia, Miss Patricia. And Ashley's like, well, of course not, because they see what happens when they go against her. I'm like, what happens? You don't get invited to, like, afternoon tea. Like, I don't know. Like, what is Patricia, like, does she have a firing squad in the back? Like...
Yeah, you don't get invited to the Civic Center for a ball. That's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get invited to a ball. I mean, to be fair, you know, Cooper went up against Patricia, and you know, now he's probably, I don't know, working at Sizzler. But so I guess,
He went up against Patricia and lived to tell another tale. But then he went up against Catherine. It's like you can't go against every person on the show. You know?
Yeah. Well, he lived to tell the tale and tell the tale and tell the tale and then tell the tale again and then tell the tale.
And he's still telling that tale on a rental bus for tours around Charleston, apparently.
Oh, there's where Shep made out with a woman, which is the way it's supposed to be.
Here is where I had the idea to have to start up Charleston's first annual 100th anniversary ball of straight people having relationships with each other and us gay people being on the sidelines where we belong. I'm Cooper.
Yeah, I feel like Cooper came up with straight pride. You know how straight pride is like trying to be a thing now? That's so him.
Whatever happened to tradition and straight people being straight? I'm starting a parade around the pineapple fountain.
As a native non-Charlestonian whose family spent three generations not living in this city, it's my honor to throw a ball that in its 10th year is celebrating its first year to celebrate straight people and straight people being together.
Long live wombs! Long live wombs.
Long live wombs and nutcracker jackets that are cool fashion.
So Eliza's doing that whole,
oh my God, forgiveness is important. I'm going to read my Bible to you. Shut up, Eliza.
Yeah, Ashley's like, I will never forgive her for that, for calling me a gold digger. Karma's a bitch and she's going down.
I need to go read my Bible app.
Shut up, Eliza. You invited Satan to the Willow Salon, okay?
Eliza's had, like, the worst arc maybe of anyone on Southern Charm. She went from, like, the first episode being our potential mega villain to replace Ashley, so we were all excited, and she was, like, crazy and brash and whatever, to this episode where she's, like, saying, like, Bible says forgiveness, and wearing, like weird 1992 flower dresses to this party. I'm like, what happened to Eliza? She was supposed to be our hope.
I know. What happened? Your arc was too quick. You were supposed to be a villain the entire season, not just the first night. I mean, yeah. So then we go over to Austin, who's calling Madison to give her the warning. And Austin's just hilarious because he's always so nervous to talk, you know, to like let bad news. He's like, I'm going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't want to keep you too long, but I had a chat with Bailey, and I assumed she was going with Shep, but she said no, she wasn't going with Shep, and I found out she's bringing Chelsea Scott.
Yeah. Madison's like, what a shit fucking person. And, Austin's
for
like,
God's sake, that girl set up a video in your house. You're taking it better than I would. He is a shit person.
Yeah. And Austin's like, you know what? I know Shep is just trying to get a rise out of us, and, like, I'm not going to give Shep that. Instead, what I'm going to do is pull Shep aside at the party and yell at him and get really mad.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, great. This is just fucking awesome.
You know what? It is fucking awesome. It's your first year and you get a finale fight. And it gets to be with Shep, the worst fucking monster right now on the show. So,
yeah, seriously.
Have fun with this, okay? This is a gift.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's interesting because Madison was sort of like on the back burner for the first half of the season, but she's really come on strong in these past few episodes. It's been great, great work for her. Like, I mean, yeah, this is really a gift from the reality gods for Madison to be given this platform.
She's a firecracker.
She certainly has.
Let's go over to the William Aiken house, shall we?
Yes, I wonder if it's related to Clay Aiken.
Yeah. Or the Aiken family who ran the Jupiter Dinner Theater when I was an apprentice in my glory days.
It's all tied together. Ladies and gentlemen, Clay Aiken featuring Meatloaf.
Meatloaf playing the late Richard Aiken, the owner of the dinner theater.
Actually, fun question. Were Clay Aiken and Meatloaf on the same season of The Celebrity Apprentice?
I don't know. I don't care.
Wow. I mean, this world can tie together in so many interesting ways.
That was rude. I don't care. Sorry. I didn't mean to dismiss you.
No, you were just speaking for the audience. It's okay.
I wasn't dismissing you. I was dismissing Aiken and Meatloaf together. Okay. I've already been through my Meatloaf drama today. I don't want to make Meatloaf cry again.
Oh.
He's just pulled back on the road, stopped his tears from
the truth is that Ronnie graphics. Would do anything for love, but he won't do that.
God, if I had a nickel.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
We're a nation that's obsessed with celebs, and the more private they are, the more we want to know. I'm Lisa Sloane, and every week in Fabulous Magazine, we talk to our most loved female celebrities, whether it's about fashion, beauty, or more personal matters. Now I'm going one step further with this series of intimate and tell-all conversations. This show is all about the relationships and the experiences that really shape a woman. If you subscribe to the podcast on your app, you won't miss an episode. I'm Lisa Snowden, and this is Things I Told My Daughter.
This little piggy had more space. This little piggy ate well. This little piggy had things to do. This little piggy had a comfy bed. In fact, all these little piggies had a better life down on the farm. If you're cutting down the meat, fish, eggs, or dairy in your diet, and want to support farmers who are passionate about the welfare of animals, look for the RSPCA Assured logo. Eat less, eat better. And for more information, visit rspcaassured.org.uk.
So Patricia and Mike drive up and in the fancy car, and Mike's like, should I roll out the red carpet, ma'am? She's like, ha, would you? I'm like, gosh, she loves the finale. This is the second time she's rolled on the floor laughing today.
Yeah, she is having a great time. And the back of her mind, she's like, you've been my butler for 45 years and you still don't know when I want my red carpet.
So she goes in to check on everybody, working all the worker bees. And she's like, so I suppose someone's going to try and give me some hideous shoes in here. Here's a dollar, honey.
I brought some canned soup for all you. This is a lovely shelter. Here you go. This like one now, says it is alphabet, so you can actually learn to read while you eat. There you go.
You're working hard, I can tell. Here's a dollar. Ah.
Here's a dollar. Ah.
So the theme of this year's party is the Stag's Ball. Traditionally, you just have singles here to meet up with each other, but it's another excuse to just have decapitated animals all over the wall.
It's a very European sort of thing. Look, that one, that was the last one of its kind. Bye, rhinoceros.
That rhinoceros died single, bless his heart.
Here, have a dollar, rhinoceros.
So she's like, I love this. I love, what'd you say? I'm sorry, I talked nothing over you.
Oh, no, I actually was talking over you. You were already talking and I started.
I had something really important to say.
I just made a Puppy the Buffalo reference, that's all.
Puppy the Buffalo, never forget.
No.
So she goes up to the little silverware section where they're gonna, because I guess it's gonna be a buffet, and she's like, well, the silver's fine, but that holder looks like a butter churner.
Ah. Now, I don't know about this. Let's see. Let me look at this silverware. Now, why are you getting out the disposable stuff? Like, oh, ma'am, this is silver. Like I said, the disposable stuff.
Even if this is a casual event, I'm not about to lower my standards. I'm going to go home, get ready, and get a facelift and some lapis. It's like, is she on X? Like, who gave Patricia she's Molly rolling today?
She's literally rolling through Charleston. She's having a great day. So now we go, now it's time to get ready for the big ball. And everyone's coming over to Catherine's house. Cameron just barges in, doesn't even knock. So now I thought the knocking arc was already fulfilled when there was a soft knock last week. But now they just not even knock anymore. They just walk in. And Catherine has just showered and she's like in a kimono, which is amazing. Like, again, you just never know what Catherine's going to do next with her look. I appreciate it so much.
And Cameron comes over with her, you know, her bitchy entrance as usual. She's like, hola, honey, I'm home. You showered? Last time I was here, you didn't even have furniture. Oh, wow, this furniture is very Catherine. Wow.
Oh, you get that at Gwyn's tag sale, did you? So everyone's like, so what's everyone going to be wearing? And Catherine's like, I don't know how to describe it. She's just going to come in like a UPS box. Like, Catherine, it wasn't a costume party.
Oh, a bow made out of Amazon Prime tape. Cameron has something to say after everything she says. She goes, Catherine goes, I don't know how to describe it. She goes, go figure. And then she's like, is that a kimono you're wearing? And she's like, yeah,
it's vintage. And she's like, hell, I guess. I'm like, geez. Cameron,
calm down over there. So all the girls start arriving, and their little stylist ladies or whatever, and then the male Reba McEntire shows up to do some hair.
I thought it was more like the male and Jillian.
That's good, actually. He was the man, yeah. And Jillian.
It's like he was truly like ready to reboot It's a Living.
Yeah, which I'm down for. Now, why is it that the South is more, like, I guess, strict? What am I trying to say? Like, anti-gay, I guess. And this, maybe this is just a stereotype.
That's a pretty big question. But, and I don't know if I'm going to answer on this podcast, since we have a wide and diverse audience.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it would be tougher to be gay in the South, you would think, right? Because it's, like, really religious and stuff like that. But then the gays are so much gayer.
Yeah. I think it's almost like I think there's a few things going on. First, maybe on some level, it's almost like you are, like, so repressed that then when you do finally come out, it's like, blah!
Yeah,
you
like
know?
Every day's a parade, yeah.
And then the other thing is I also feel like the women in the South are bigger, and so I just feel like, you know, like, you know, why not just be as big as the women if you're going to be out, you know?
Yeah, you go for it, yeah.
Winona Judd is not from Albany, New York, okay?
Okay, well, that's...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I just find it curious. Southern. And fabulous.
Southern ladies are like, they're like, ba-boom.
I just feel like I came out as gay too young, and so I'm used to it now because I'm so old, and so like every day's not a parade. Like I've gotten to the Old Navy stage of being a gay,
yeah.
And I just wish I had that time, which it was like mascara time, you know, and like just fabulous hairsprayed hair,
late,
really
Ronnie.
Tight leopard pants, and I think I could rock that. I know now I couldn't. I'd look like Lea Delaria if I did that now, but if I did that like when I was young, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I missed the boat, you know.
Listen, you know, it's never too late, and if Bravo has shown us anything, it's that you could be 65 and still be, like, a big, loud, proud gay. So, you know, like, you do you. You do what... You beat Lea Delaria.
Thank you, babe. You know, isn't it funny that I'm sitting here doing a Bravo podcast every day and worrying that I'm not gay enough? Like, hello.
Yeah. It's kind of funny also that you were sort of shaming me for being super gay, and now we've uncovered the fact you are projecting or having countertransference about gay inadequacies.
I think so.
I should say insecurities.
This is our Friday this week, so I think I'm going to leave this show today and just be as gay.
You're
going to
put on a pashmina.
I think this is the
skyline.
Opening. Yeah, I think this show is the opening for me. It's going to be a new Ronnie, baby.
I want you to have a Mama D wig, a pashmina, mascara, and just like sing songs, sing some, you know, good old show tunes as you walk down the street to Whole Foods.
But I literally already have all those things, which is why I think I'm being ridiculous. You're gay enough. Okay, so the point is all the girls are getting ready, and I'm jealous of every gay in the room. So Cameron's like, I gotta go first because I'm a mother, so I think I get to go first because I have a baby.
Yeah. And then we see that Matul gave Naomi like a little bit of a promise ring, and then they get into like the real good stuff.
But it's
stuff,
not
which
very romantic because the ring was for her to promise not to ever try and get a Rice Krispie treat at a coffee shop again. So it was weird. And
yeah,
then if
it was
really
weird.
She does want a Rice Krispie treat. The ring snaps. You know, it's like one of those things you snap, and it's like, no, you don't want the Rice Krispie treat.
It's like an odd chastity belt of sorts.
Yeah.
So then Catherine's friend was at the salon the other night, at the non-Willow salon, and overheard Ashley saying that she's going to crash the party tonight.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh my God, could you imagine?
But even more shocking is when Cameron says that Jason might be coming to the party. Everyone's like, what? Now that's the real tea. What is going on with that?
Yeah, that is pretty extreme. I'm wondering what brought them to this point.
Yeah, exactly. There must have been something must have gone down. Like Cameron has something over her husband at long last.
Yes, or he's finally just like, wait a second, I need to see what the hell's going on in this show.
What's probably happened was that basically Cameron's like, you know what, Matul's coming and he shot scenes and he's a doctor too and he's in residence, so he has even less time. So you have to come too. You know?
Yeah, and then Jason was probably like, oh my God, I finally have somebody who's not a social terrorist to talk to at a party. I'll come. I'll come talk to another doctor.
He's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to have an amazing Rice Krispie treat. Oh, I can't have one either? Oh,
why is Naomi snapping herself with that ring? It's like, oh, even talking about it. So Catherine's talking about how she's bringing Hunter. And she's like, y'all, I call him my chicken nugget and he calls me honey mustard. I'm saucing. I'm saucing. It's like, that's so disturbing. And also Hunter looks like he's 10 years old, which makes it even weirder. We saw him at our show in Charleston, and he was super nice and really cute. He didn't look so young. I'm like, babe.
I know. I mean, I thought he looked young, but he didn't look that young. I think that like his natural look is like a little baseball cap and like a some sort of like leather jacket, and that makes him look older, but when he is like in formal wear, he's like uncomfortable in it, obviously, and so he just looks more like a little kid who's like dressed up for church.
Yeah, like a kid who has to put on a suit for Easter or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, those were the days.
So Catherine then announces that she and Hunter are going to be going to the party with Madison and Austin, and Danny's like, ah. It was like a fly just like went right into her throat. She's like, and Cameron's like, oh, Danny, you look like you're having a conniption. Did Madison ever apologize to you? I would love to know. I bet she hasn't. Isn't that funny, Catherine? The girl that you are going to the party with said that Danny got chlamydia. Isn't that funny?
And Danny's like, great. You know, that's really great, Catherine. That's great. I hope you have fun. I hope you have fun. Catherine's like, well, they just asked me kind of last minute, you know, so I just said we would go. It's like, oh, well, great. That, you know what? It's weird that you're just going with them at all. That's all. Do we have to talk about them? Can we not talk about them for one day? She's like, but the party's tonight, so that's a day. She's like, well, then 1 hour. Can I have 1 hour?
Cameron's like, how about we talk about your art? How's that going?
Danny, here's what you say. I got chlamydia from Shep. He's a prick. I got rid of it from taking some antibiotics. Done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that big of a deal, okay? Well, you're a sexually active young person in 2019, okay? We have prescriptions now.
Yeah, it's okay. But Danny's like spiraling. She's just like, I love how he thinks he's buddy-buddy with you, and you allow it. You allow it.
My best friend should recognize that more than anyone else. Which I guess is true. I guess I should be on Danny's side. But
yeah, but I just think it's funny how she just like tries to like manage her feelings and they just come bubbling to the surface regardless. Sort of like sort of like me when I'm like told like basically the way Danny acts is the way I act if I'm on a plane and the flight attendant like accidentally misses my row with the snacks and I'm like, but I mean, I don't want to make a scene, but like I feel overlooked and neglected, and I feel like I have to say something. Can we just like not talk about this act for 24 hours, please?
That's when you have your real relationship trauma, when you're overlooked by a service person. Bless your heart. Danny probably has like a whole room filled with like hidden watercolors that are like killer clowns. You know, it's like a clown eating a baby's head off. You know, but then in the front, it's just like a nice serene boat on the pond, or whatever. So Catherine's like, you know what, then I'm going to text them and I'm going to say no, because you're right. That was fucked up of me. And Naomi goes, that's a real friend. That's a real friend. And then Danny goes, you didn't have to do that.
Because you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. Well, you're the one who made us think about it, Danny. So.
But yeah, I get it. You know, you got to stand with your girl.
Yeah, you do. No,
it's like if I walked off the plane and was like, hey, flight attendant, he just dissed Ben. You want to go have lunch? You'd be like,
honey, that's like so me. Because not only are you like hanging out with the woman who overlooked me, you're actually having food with her, which is the whole crux of my issue with that woman.
Yeah. So Naomi's like, who's Shep bringing? And Chelsea says, Chelsea, I mean, not me. It's another Chelsea. He was involved in that threesome video. And they're like, ooh. Which Shep really fucked this one up. Like, why did you tell anybody, you dumb dumb?
Yeah, like why
this would you is do not that? Your first season, for Christ's sake. Isn't this like season 6? Like, you should know how to do finale surprises by now, sir.
Yeah, exactly. So now everyone's getting dressed, getting ready for the big ball, etc. And Austin's with Madison. He's like, I'm glad that I reconfirmed my decision to go with my heart over my drinking buddy. And you know what? I'm finally doing what I want to do. I'm like, Austin, you have no job. And you like flirted with the idea of making a beer called Trop Hop. I think you have been able to do what you want to do.
Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a time in your life that you haven't been able to do what you want to do. Yeah. And so she's like, my dress is tight. Could you please help me buckle my shoe? And he's like, oh, your shoe? That's, I don't even know how to do that. A girl's shoe? Like, what? And she's like, just do it. And he's like, oh, this is so insane, Madison. This is insane right now. It's like, oh, I did it. I buckled a shoe. Now that's love. I'm like, God, that's the new father of your children.
Yeah. I buckled a shoe. Oh, shoot. I spilled a drink on the floor, too, while I was down there. Austin.
He just looks like a congressman. He has congressman hair. He has, like, the congressman neck.
Like an ineffectual congressman.
Yeah. He just looks like he's always having a fundraiser for some bullshit at a car dealership, you know?
And you know what? He's gonna be the one that passes that bill that at the time, like, okay, fine. Like, okay, so, like a bill that seems like totally ineffectual. It's like, okay, so like we're going to make a bill that says we should like fill in potholes. And then like 10 years later, when there's a national controversy and we're like banish these things forever. And like, well, we can't because there was a bill that was introduced 10 years ago that says that when potholes are filled in, we must also always keep these things. And we're like, fuck, stupid loophole bill. It's because Austin introduced it.
Oh yeah. What do they call that? The pork bill, where they just shove a bunch of stuff in there. He's like, I filled potholes, but I also have a bridge over a pond named after me.
He has a bridge in someone's mouth named after him. So now, are you okay over there? Crappin's on demand. I can see when you're hacking up a lung.
I tried a new vape flavor and it was not, it didn't work very well. It turns out your lungs don't really love being bathed in blueberry scent. Oh. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. From the people who brought you Trop Hop comes blueberry vape. It's insane right now. It's insane in your lungs.
Lung hop.
Lung hop.
So it's time for the event, and Patricia and Mike drive up again, and there's like this lady on stilts with her dress acting as the red carpet. The purple carpet, if you will. That's what single people wear.
Yeah. I knew that there'd be a lot of poor people, so I thought I'd dress sort of boho. Here, I'm in a golden caftan, just like a poor person would.
So there's contortionists and everything at this party, and Chelsea's first, which is so sad, because Chelsea's got to be bummed that she's the only one that doesn't have a date for the night, and she's like first, you know?
She doesn't care. Chelsea's like... She's got big dick energy.
Chelsea does have big dick energy.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but she has it.
She really does. BDE.
Yeah, good for her.
So she's like, well, fancy. Well, look, that's fancy too. This is fancy. So she talks to Patricia, and Patricia's like, have you met Mr. Kale? He's security. International, local, investigative, and he packs heat.
He also makes a fine salad.
I know, don't you think it's fitting that Whitney's always chasing away gay rumors, and the only thing he can eat at this party is a man named Kale?
Patricia's sending ambulances for you. She's like, Mr. Kale will be there in a moment, Ronnie. Enjoy your last minutes podcasting.
Someone heard me choking on a blueberry vape.
Mr. Kale. Like, that's like the... that it's I can't like
the least
tell.
Threatening name ever, huh?
Yeah. I can't tell if it's one of those names that's so unthreatening that it then becomes extremely threatening, you know? You know how sometimes movies do that? Like, Mr. Cottonball. You're like, oh, no, not Mr. Cottonball.
Yeah, Mr. Cottonball's the killer. So, Mr. Kale. And then Cameron comes in bitching about her own dress. Like, I don't like this dress. It's too long. I don't like it. I feel Mormon.
Well, also, we have to appreciate Jason's first on-camera appearance because She gets out of the car, and then the music's like, dun, 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 like, is it going to be Jason? And it's Jason, the very first time he's ever shown up in person on the show.
Yeah, he looks pretty much what I thought he would look like. If Powder had children, you know? He's just, like, super white.
Yeah. He looks like he went to Austin's fundraiser to get into office.
Like this, yeah. Like this morning, I got a call from Bank of America, and of course, it was straight to voicemail. And they were like, "Oh, maybe we have to call them back then."
We both got one.
Like, "I'm your business consultant at Bank of America, and I have important things to talk to you about."
That's the exact same thing he said on my voicemail.
If you could give me, I guess we have to call him. But it just sounded like one of those things. Like, it's very important, and then you call them, and they're like, "Now for 5%, you can come in here and get a new loan for a blah blah."
That's exactly what it's going to be. By the way,
okay, you
have important things to talk to you about. Have you ever considered a Starfish banking card? It's great. You get $10 off all petting tanks.
Please call them so I don't have to. And then tell me what he says.
I will. I will do that.
Because I know that anybody who calls me saying I have important business things to talk to you about, I know it's a damn lie. Like, I don't have any business. Okay, so Cameron is... Yeah, so everybody just starts arriving. Mm-hmm. And Catherine arrives in a see-through dress. I'm not really sure what's going on with Catherine.
She has this giant red, it's like a wrap of some sort. It looks like she's like being birthed from a flower. And then her dress is sheer, but she has something under it. But basically you just see like her legs. So she looks sort of like a pinup, but not, but she's technically in a dress. It's a look.
Yeah, it's a lot of look. So she comes in with Little Hunter and Whitney. I've just got a lot of hellos here. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Yeah, that's all it was. It's like, hello, mother.
Yeah. She's like, kill her. He's like, stop it, mother, in my head. She's like, what? I'm standing right here. I said, kill her. He's like, oh.
Kill the poor person. That was a joke, Whitney, because which one would you choose? They're all poor. Ha!
Whichever one is poor enough to take a fork out of a butter churner, kill her.
So Whitney meets Hunter. So Catherine introduces Whitney to Hunter, and she's like, you guys should play together. And Whitney's like, yeah, we should jam, mother. Like, let's totally jam. And Hunter's like, are you a player? He's like, dude, I shred metal. I'm like, total hard rock.
Like, total hard rock. Like, not shredding. Shred mother. Guitar. Do you play guitar? And Hunter's like, yeah.
He's like, I've been on TV.
Yeah. And Whitney's like, cool, man.
Yeah, like, I'm like you ever heard of Meatloaf before? Like, man, I could do like 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Man, that's my jam. I just shred that song.
And then Hunter just starts biting the inside of his cheek. Like, are they all like this? You know, like, Jesus Christ.
He starts tugging on Catherine's sleeve. Can I go to the bathroom? I have to go really badly. Yeah. I told you should have gone before, but I have to go now.
Okay, chicken nugget. I'll be back, honey mustard. So, Jason is talking to Matul, and they're like, doctor, 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 residency doctor, doctor, doctor.
10 cc's of friendship stat.
So Cameron comes up behind Matul and is just smelling him. And he's like, what's going on here? And Naomi's like, she's assaulting you. And he goes, it's not assault if it's welcome. Know what I'm saying?
Rice Krispie Treat. I'm calling you that because I don't want you near me right now.
Stay on the shelf, Rice Krispie Treat. I'm talking to a naked juice over here.
So people are all, they're like showing up, and more people are showing up, and there's doctor talk. I said Jason Matul have doctor talk.
Yeah, doctor,
which is
doctor.
What you basically just said.
So then Madison and what's his buns are in the car. And Fozzie. He's like, I feel sick.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't. You know what? Rebound. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. This is it. This is our time. She's like, I'm trying to stay positive, but like, duh.
I just feel bad for anyone coming after me tonight. That's all I'll say. I made a trip to the sexual disease doctor and got a file on everybody in this place.
I went to the Mayo Clinic and turns out they have entire wings dedicated to studying what goes on in our group. So anyway, so they arrive, and then finally we see Shep, Craig, Chelsea, and this other girl, I forgot her name, but the two girls from the video, and Shep
Chelsea
is like,
Michelle,
and Shep is like, gosh, this is going to be fun, you three, I'm into it, sort of like, you know, almost as fun as humiliating a person on the street just trying to gather cans, gosh, hilarious.
Yeah, same diff. So, back inside, Cameron's taking pictures with Matul. Madison comes in and says hi to Patricia, and then Shep and the hoes arrive.
Yeah. So they get out of the car, and, you know, there's that, like, semi-carpet thing that's part of the dress, and Shep is like, do I step on this? Looks like it's part of her dress. Sorry! And so he's, like, pretending to be like, oh, cute, and then he wipes his shoes on it, and he's like, it was, like, some... I don't know what it was, but like I know it wasn't really her dress, and I know it was also a carpet, but there was something about him wiping the shoes on the dress that, like, even as a joke, it just registered as like marking my territory that this is what I do and what I would do to you.
And he's like, I had a little dirt on my shoe, I had to get it off. And the girl's like, ah. So then inside, Madison's talking to Catherine, and she's like, you look so hot. And Catherine says,
I was supposed to be working.
And then Madison just stares at her like, blink, blink, blink. And Catherine means like one of the contortionists, you know? So then Shep comes in, and he pulls Sheena. He's like, yes. It's all happening.
Gosh. So Austin sees Shep coming in with the girls, and he gets all nervous, and he starts clutching the bar menu that's in the little picture frame. He's like, oh, I have to hold on to something. Picture frame, you're the only one I have right now. I actually think I love you. I love you. I love you, and I want to be with you, picture frame. You're insane. You're an insane frame right now. You're insane.
Stop pulling your dick, Austin.
He's like, I'm sorry. I'm nervous. So he's really upset to see Craig there with the other girl, because he's like, Jesus, it's one thing. I knew that Shep was going to do this, but to see Craig, it's like, Craig, you're such a fucking pawn, Craig.
Yeah. Yeah. Craig, meanwhile, is having his own issues because he like chose a shirt that was like this, had this giant collar. And I guess Michelle fixed it, and he's like, well, apparently my collar was out. This archaic device is really taking me down tonight.
So Cam's like, who'd you bring? And he's like, a girl named Michelle. She's the girl from Austin's video. And she's like, okay, Shep, come over here. So now, which one did he actually bang? And he's like, he says neither. And I figure if they're so secure in their relationship, then they should be comfortable in front of him as I am.
Which is really such bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And then Cam's like, well, do you think that Madison will know them or recognize them? And Shep's like, I don't give a fuck, honestly, as evidenced by how agitated I am right now.
I know. Keith. So, foot tap, foot tap, foot tap, foot tap, foot tap, yeah. Foot tap. So then Don and Eliza are at the party too, and he's like, can I give you your purse back? I've been carrying this thing the whole time. Someone else want to be Eliza's pet for a second? Like, shut up, fake hick Don. Okay, shut up, New Jersey Don.
Yeah, I think it's okay to hold the purse for 2 hours if it means you're going to be getting that Limehouse inheritance. Except, guess what? He won't be, because Eliza married someone else, like, very recently.
Oh, no, she didn't really marry him. She's a wedding model, apparently. The thing she learned on Instagram. I didn't know there was such a thing as a wedding model.
Wow. It's like when first season of Summer House, we met Jacqueline, who was a fit model, because she just fits in things.
Yeah. Oh, God. This channel teaches me a lot of things. And also, Don, you can stand there and hold your Chinatown knockoff Louis Vuitton for a second, okay? What else are you going to do? No one else wants to talk. Shut up, Don.
Yeah, shut up, Don. Like, I'd rather hold that instead of, you know, you could be holding something worse. You could be holding, like, a dead corpse, and that's worse. Yeah.
So Danny and Madison are outside talking. Danny basically, Danny takes Madison, who's hyperventilating at this point. You know, she's like, what do I do? So she grabs her and takes her outside. And Austin's like, hi, Madison. Okay, then. I guess she's not going to say hi to me. Oh, God. Please be on my team. Please be on my team tonight. Please be on my team. So she goes outside. And Danny's like, listen, Madison. And she's like, it's just a total fucking ambush. She's like, no matter what happened between us, this isn't cool. She's like, believe me, I feel like total shit about talking about chlamydia. I mean, I could have brought up the herpes he gave you, the warts.
No, 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 stop that. It's like, listen, Madison, listen. No, regardless of what happened between us, and by what happened between us, the things you said about me is totally unwarranted that you still haven't apologized for yet. But regardless of those things that happened between us, and I'll put myself in it for no good reason except to be a better person. But regardless of what happened between us when you were a total bitch to me, I'm on your side.
Yeah. And she's like,
believe me, I feel like total shit about that. I mean...
And Danny's like, I'm mad at Austin about it. Fuck Austin. She's like,
well, he told me that, and I should have just bottled that up. She goes, well, first of all, wasn't true. Okay, first of all, was not true. Second of all, it wasn't true. And third of all, I'm on your side because you're on the side of that wasn't true, right? And Madison's just like, I'm so sorry. And then they hug. That was nice. That was like a nice
It was nice. Exactly.
Respite until next year.
Right. And then Craig walks up to Hunter and Catherine and Austin, and he's like, hi. And just like, what's up to Austin? And Austin goes, what is up?
Craig.
Craig's like, technically it's the ceiling, but it depends how far up you want to go, because then it's like the sky. And then like, well, honestly, the universe, who really knows what's up or down, right?
So Craig has been given his prepared answers, right? So he's like, well, if you guys are solid, it shouldn't matter. Okay, so we brought the girls from the video. And Catherine's like, you did? You dick.
So now Greg starts to backtrack. He starts to go, well, I just needed a date. And Shep said he had a date. And like, pillow business is really stressful sometimes. So I guess I don't think things through.
He's like, and Austin's like, well, you're a pawn. I hope you enjoy it because he's playing chess and you're a pawn. And Catherine's like,
he plays checkers, actually.
So then Shep and Cam are talking, and Cam's giving him shit. And he's like, what? We used to be friends. I know the girl. So what's the big deal? I invite a girl that I know to a party. And she's like, oh, come on. Of all the girls that you know, you had to invite that one?
Yeah. He goes, well, just because he got drunk and invited two girls home doesn't make me not be able to hang out with these two girls. Gosh.
He's like, you don't see the humor in this? Gosh. She's like, well, if you value your relationship with Austin, he's like, nope, that's just it. I don't value it. I don't value it, okay?
Shep is like the worst, like, emotional liar. Like, I've never seen someone be so obviously, like, untruthful about his emotional state is, because this entire episode is people being like, Shep, deep down inside, you still like Austin. He's still your friend, and you're just hurt right now. I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt at all. I'm happy right now. It's like, I mean, you gotta cover up those emotional scars a little bit better, Shep.
Yeah, you came in here completely loaded, coked up out of your mind, probably. with a couple of floozies from a bar. Like, give me a break, dude. So he's like, well, she goes, you know, but I mean, they made it past that, and they're here together, and they're doing better, and it's just not cool to do that. And he goes, oh yeah, it's one of the great romances in history. Everyone knows about it. And I know he's ruffled because he didn't bring up a literary reference of a great romance. You know, I was like, oh, he's really up his game tonight.
He's like, Pride and Sensibility. I mean, Sense and Prejudice. I mean, gosh,
Amelie-tability.
The brothers Gershmerzov. Oh. So basically, he's just pretending like he's so happy. He's happy. He doesn't care about Austin. So then we see Austin with Craig, and Austin's like, this girl has zero importance to him that he brought, okay? He brings her specifically to be a slap, an insane slap in my even more insane face right now. Like, it's so insane. And you just see Craig being like, mind, like his mind is just like blown by this like very obvious theory. Like, what?
Yeah. He's like, I am kind of being an asshole, I guess. Like, I don't care about taking that big a swing at him. And now I feel bad for everyone involved.
I'm like, yeah, you feel bad because you got caught. Because he didn't know that Shep had told people. So he thought this was going to be a big surprise, you know. So everyone's already on the offense with him.
Exactly. And Craig's like, I think that Shep just doesn't like it when other people are happy. I'm like, really? You think?
Yeah. I mean, if they really wanted to get Shep back, they should have just brought Chelsea Ballerini to choose other people over and over. Like, all right, it's time for Chelsea Ballerini to sing again. And she could just get up there and be like, I choose Austin. Just watch Shep melt. Just watch his face melt.
It's like, I choose Wilson. He's like, what? That's not even.
Wait a minute.
I choose Mr. Kale, but wait.
So back with Cam and Shep, she's like, are you just jealous that he's left Shep? And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's real lucky. She goes, I mean, Shep, come on. And he's like, I mean, so now he's mad that Cameron's not taking his side. And he's like, oh yeah, if only I could find myself with Madison. Are you fucking nuts? What's wrong with you?
Who would want like a very beautiful woman who speaks up for herself and has her own business and has all her shit together and loves me despite my flaws? Who wants that? Gosh.
Disgusting. So Chelsea and Naomi and Catherine, Chelsea's like, well, I think we should set the record straight with these girls. We should go up and talk to them. And Catherine's like, yay. So,
although right before that, we have Patricia scolding Whitney. She's like, Whitney, I thought you were going to shave. You know, now you look like a regular Gwyn's customer, if you know what I'm saying. He goes, mother.
So the girls go to take them away to talk, to the two new girls away to talk, and Austin goes over to Shep, and he's like, we need to talk. Let's talk. So the girls are outside, and one of them goes, what are we in Sigma Alpha something something now?
I know.
And they girls are just everything you think they would be.
I know. They reminded me of like the two women, like the two hookers from Fargo, who were like, oh yeah, one of them was real funny looking, you know, real funny looking, you know. I think I went to high school. Like, I feel like that's what one of them was like. But here's the thing.
Even moving like this. So I, you know, it was this a Sigma or something, honey? Like, oh god.
But, you know, I'm actually not mad at these girls, and I'll tell you why. Because Austin probably was like, yeah, hey, like, come over. We're going to party. We're going to have fun times. They go over to his place. They have a fun time. His girlfriend comes over and is mad. And then the two of them are made to look like, you know, crazy whores, when actually this is Austin's fault. And they shouldn't have to take the fall because Austin said, come over. It's cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm actually on their side, because I'm happy that they're making Austin squirm. I think it's shady as fuck that Shep has brought them. That's a different issue. But from the women's perspective, they're like, fuck it. We don't care. We don't give a fuck about this guy. We truly don't. Unlike Shep, who says he doesn't. But we truly don't. And he's made us look like whores. So, yeah, we don't mind coming here and making him squirm in front of his girlfriend. Why not?
Yeah. So, support other women.
Yay.
So Cameron's like, well, I feel like they're just using y'all to get back at Austin is what's going on here. Okay, I have a baby. Have I mentioned that? And the one named Chelsea's like, well, that's fine. It ain't nothing to do with what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, right?
And then the other one's like, yeah, ain't nothing to do with what we're doing. And Chelsea goes, all right, here's the question. Did you fuck him? They all start laughing.
And so here's the thing. The Chelsea number two was like trying to tell the story. And the blonde one, Michelle, she was a real problem because she was drunk and she kept interrupting with bullshit. So she's like, well, you know, and we go over there, and then, like, the next morning, we wake up to this crazy bitch screaming.
Yeah, crazy bitch. Yeah, a crazy bitch screaming.
I would say that. Yeah.
She just kept repeating everything. It's like, yeah, crazy bitch here screaming.
Yeah, the only one who actually cared to hear what these women said was Catherine, who, like, did not do the, oh, I wouldn't say that, because everyone started interrupting, and Catherine's just like, I would like to hear more. So I actually thought, that's not even a joke. I think it was actually kind of cool, because I think Catherine knows what it's like to be on their side and was like, I want to hear these women out.
These women are such assholes. I mean, well, I don't care about the actual situation and who's at fault, but whatever. You know what you're being brought there to do. And they're just like, let's do it. We're on TV. They're trash.
Well, they were also lying, too, by the way. Like, I support them going to make Austin squirm, but I also feel like be upfront about it because they were like, no, we absolutely did not have sex. And then they just had this, like, they just sort of stared at the girls as if, like, do they believe it? Do they believe it? Do they believe it?
Yeah. She's like, someone's like, then why was he naked? She's like, I don't care why he's naked. And the other one's like, yeah, we don't care why he's naked. I just wrote, they keep babbling like, it's like a babble of trash, you know? So right. Then Chelsea's like, well, the moral of the story is not the one if you fucked him. And they're like, No.
Definitely did not.
So then Shep is doing that power move with Austin because they're both disgusting eaters. So he's like talking with his mouth full and like getting food all over Austin's face. You know he is. And then Austin starts talking back with his like his way of like probably getting spit all over Shep's face.
Yeah, so. It was like this was like a real battle royale. So yeah. Austin's like, I mean, like Shep, like what the fuck's going on? Like,
and Shep's like, I could invite someone, and Chelsea is one of a handful of people I know, so I took her. And he's like, Shep, that was a slap in the face, and you knew that. It's like insane right now. And he's like, yeah, I did. And he goes, God, like petty. You're just so petty. Like, I just never thought I'd see that in you. I mean, you're so petty. Like, you're just seeing that he's petty.
I know. Shep's like, gosh, you just knocked over my glass on the carpet. I'm sorry. I mean, here's the thing. Shep is just such a huge asshole. But at the same time, one thing I do appreciate is that when Austin's like, you're just doing this to fuck with me. You're being so petty. And Shep's like, yeah, I was. You know, at least he's like, he doesn't bullshit. He's like, yeah, no, I was. I was doing that. And it was fun. And I enjoyed it.
No, he's not happy and carefree like that. He knows he's lost this one. He looks like a total drunk on the street yelling at you if you don't give him a dollar. Look, this whole thing comes back to giving dollars to people, okay? So he's just like belligerent, and he's like, yeah, was it snippy? Yes, but I'm not going to die on the cross for you, bro. I'm not going to die on the cross. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to destroy you. And he's like, you're mad. Like,
what like, cross is he dying on, by the way? What does that even mean?
He's just belligerent, and he's talking like an idiot. So Austin's like, you're mad at someone else, not me, and it's really disappointing. And
he's like, why are you so angry at me? And Shep's like, oh, sure, play the victim, go ahead. Well, you hashed a scheme to humiliate Austin, so yeah, I think he's actually the victim here.
Yeah, and then Craig comes up, he's like, hey, and he goes, Craig, would you fuck off, please?
Craig just like rotates away and like heads to a different corner. Like he's like, okay. He's like so used to it from Naomi. He's like, that actually kind of turned me on.
And you know that Shep is losing. Well, we already know, but another sign he's losing is that he's doing the cross leg foot tap. It's like tap, 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 tap. His foot's going crazy. And he's like, Austin, sometimes a revolution is a good thing, and I'm not going to stand in the way of some great love story, and you ride off into the sun. I mean, it's called disassociation. It's called disassociation, which he's making no sense.
Yeah. I mean, as I learned from the great documentary, The Vietnam War, sometimes a revolution, people like it. Like Ho Chi Minh, people loved him in the North. Gosh. It's like, Shep, come back.
And he's like, yeah, this is disassociation. You really took that word right out of my mind, buddy. And Austin's like, this relationship's in ruins, okay? Bye. Don't let the door hit you, pal.
Yeah. And then so we go over to Cameron feeling Mr. Kale's muscle. She's like, oh, she just horned up this entire party. She's like, yeah. This is amazing. This is a great arm. Hey, aren't you Catherine's other boyfriend, but with a mustache on? You are, aren't you?
Yeah, totally, huh? And she's like, what do you use for weapons? You karate chop? And Patricia's like, feel this muscle.
Who would have thought a paw could be so strong? Am I right?
So
you would think that Patricia can't really have fun because she's having to stand by the door to wait for fucking Ashley to come in. She's just like standing there the whole time. So finally she gets to start moving around. And Whitney's like, if she actually comes here, I mean, that takes audacity. He's like, that takes balls and audacity to walk into this viper pit. So balls and audacity. Take a low-class word and then add a high-class word. It's going to confuse everybody.
High low culture, right? High low culture, mother. So then Shep is like walking around and he finds Craig sitting on a staircase alone. Shep's like, oh, hey, buddy, what's up? You're all sitting alone. What are you doing up there? And Craig's like, kind of hiding a little bit. Naomi yelled at me. Really? Well, she looked like Austin, but I'm pretty sure it was Naomi. Oh, buddy.
I didn't know that this was just a ploy for your inferiority complex, which, yes, you did. And Chef's not going to let him get away with that. So Chef's like, yeah. You knew exactly who was coming, Craig. And he's like, yeah, but I didn't know you were going to brag about it all week. It was supposed to be a surprise, you know? Now it's like you're doing it because you were just jabbing at Austin. Like, Craig, come on. You're not getting out of this.
Yeah, Craig is, well, you know. If anyone could get out of it, it's Craig, because it is conceivable he did not put two and two together, you know?
No, he knew. He knew. So but then it's okay. He's already like, I feel bad, you know, which Shep will never do. It's kind of the difference, I guess.
Yeah, because it was actually kind of funny, because I feel like this entire party, every time the cameras cut to Craig, he was like looking more and more crestfallen as he realized what he'd done wrong, you know? Like, he's the one in the bank heist. He's just like, guys, this is wrong. We should turn back. Let's just, like, give ourselves in. Like, no, shut up, Craig.
Yeah, and then he's the one who gets shot. So then Madison and Austin are talking, and Austin's like, well, we screamed and yelled at each other, you know, and everyone wants to talk about us being wrong for each other. And then I look at your face, and I love you.
She's like, excuse me, as she, like, squeegees off all the saliva. She's like, does this look better now? Maybe you'll love me more now.
So then it's time for the Catherine and Whitney discussion.
Yeah. So Catherine basically goes up to Whitney and is like, I just want you to know that, like, I was mad before, but everything's good now between us because I don't really care anymore. I've got a new hot boyfriend, so...
Yeah, he's like, don't care about what? I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Shredding metal? I mean, not everyone has to care about me shredding metal, because I can do that. That's what I do. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, and he's like, well, if anything, as a gentleman, I was trying to protect our relationship, you know? So that's it. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm over it, so don't worry about it. Okay, go away.
So now Patricia's with Madison, and they're like, you know, she's giving Madison a little pep talk and saying how Shep has really, like, overstepped the line with his little stunt that he's pulled tonight. And she's like, now you should go talk to Shep, partially because it'll be hilarious, partially because it'll be great for ratings, and partially because I just want to see his foot twirl around a lot. It's really exciting. We need a little air circulation in here.
So she goes over to him, and meanwhile, Craig is trying to do shots with Matul and Nomi, and Matul's like, oh, yeah, no thanks. I am still a doctor. So
yeah.
I do have to wake up early tomorrow. Okay, Billow Man, thanks.
Yeah. But Nomi, you feel free to do one, you know, if you can live with those calories. Go ahead.
I would worry about Naomi doing a shot, but apparently they don't have Rice Krispie flavored vodka here, so...
I'm sorry, do they have Hostess-flavored shots here? Ring-ding shots? No? Okay, Naomi, you're okay. You're safe.
So Madison's like, would you be willing to have a talk? Hey, your date's real classy, first of all.
And he's like, God, that's a girl I've hung out with often. You know, 3 years on and off. Jeez.
And she's like, oh, really? For some reason, I just thought that was a nighttime hangout thing. And he's like,
well, sometimes we hang out in the day and sometimes it turns into night. Gosh.
Gosh.
So she's like, listen, I'm saying this one time and one time only. I
apologize.
I was like, what?
I was like, what? Whoa. I know. I was like, oh, okay. It's like a very, like, aggressive apology. I apologize for what I said about you. It was inappropriate. It was crossing the line. And I'm disappointed in myself for saying that. I'm not proud for how I've made everyone feel in this situation, given especially that you wanted to keep how much chlamydia you spread to how many girls a secret. Okay?
Now, as far as Austin goes, he does value your relationship, and I don't want you to feel like you can't get back together, you know? And I don't think you, and you don't think you will, and after tonight, he probably feels like that, too. And Shep's like, I don't care how he feels.
It was literally like the teacher having to pull like 2 third graders aside and be like, now you guys are really friends. Stop fighting. No, I hate him. I'm never playing kickball with him again. Gosh.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't care how he feels. And she goes, well, that's apparent. And he's like, no, I don't care how he feels. He deserves it.
Yeah. He deserves to have a little finger in his stomach. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. If anything, it makes me think of Pillsbury, but...
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, I know you hate me, and Austin got caught in the crossfire, and he's like, I don't hate you. She goes, Shep, you've called me white trash since day one, okay? And he's like, what's the problem with labeling things?
She goes, you know, I think you just don't like me, because I'm not going to let you say things about me and just take it, which I was like, yes.
She's like, I'm not going to take this any longer, and further, I'm not going to let Austin take it either. And he's like, oh, I thought you and Austin were stronger than a tire iron. Which, what?
What? Yeah, Shep is really flailing, because his, like, metaphors, they're sort of like me on a bad day, where I'm like, he's as silly as an made bed.
Yeah. And Shep's only quality at this point that he can hang his hat on is that he's a good arguer, you know, a good debater. Right. And he is just failing, and it's amazing.
Yeah, tire iron.
So stronger than a tire iron. And she's like, we are. And he goes, oh, well, then will you withstand that, huh? And she goes, yes. And he goes, oh, well, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, huh? I'm like, oh.
Now, this is not the time for Kelly Clarkson, okay? She's like, well, now you're stronger. And she goes, like, I hope you find it. And he's like, oh, I'll about like strength or happiness, whatever. And he's like, oh, I'll find it. Somewhere with sun and white sand and me with a big ass grin on my face. And
alone.
Like, and alone. I'm like, Shep, did you ever see Castaway? It doesn't really work out that way.
I know. Don't drag Wilson into this. He's like the nicest cast member on here.
She's like, and alone. He's like, well, no. How can I find it alone? She goes, well, it seems like you want to be alone. You just rat off people.
He
goes,
yeah, you drive everyone off. And he's like, well, sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones may break my bones. And she goes, but words obviously hurt you. He's like, yeah. No, they don't. I really don't care.
Yeah, and he's just like,
she has like she has so won this argument. It is actually kind of amazing. And, you know, and by the way, I mean, I don't believe that you have to be with another person to be happy. I think you can be alone and extremely, extremely, extremely happy, just as happy, maybe even more happy than people who are together. But in this case, it's evident that Shep is clearly jealous of their relationship. And I think everything that Madison says applies.
Destroyed. Just fucking destroyed. It was the best part of the season of watching Shep just get destroyed and sit there like with nothing to say and his foot still tapping as fast as it can and his face scrunched up like a paper bag. I was like, oh, this is everything I needed it to be.
The fact that he had to like resort to truly like the oldest rebuttal in all of like, you know, like human development. Sticks and stones may break my bones. The fact that he had to go there.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I've never seen such a white flag.
Is this the kind of discussion we can expect over mom's meatloaf? You fucking loser. So then he goes in and he's just like the creepy old man with the girl. He's like, oh, gosh, sorry about that. Oh, did you find any insanity today? And she goes, no. Like, she's all sad that she didn't get into a fight with anybody at a finale party. It's like, I failed my mission tonight.
Yeah. So Austin and Madison leave, and that's like 15 minutes later, which I don't know why we needed to have to know exactly how much time had passed, but okay. Yeah. So we see Ashley showing up at the place and like walking up the stairs. There's like a lot of like build up. Everyone's like, oh, this is a fun party. There's no Ashley here. What a nice time without Ashley. No Ashley to be seen.
And isn't she coming up the back stairs? It looks like they have her coming up the back stairs or something. And
Cameron is talking to Jason, and she's like, oh, Mitul and I have this running joke. And he's like, what's the joke? She's like,
that we're in love.
And he's just, it just shows his face, and he's like, stoic. Like, he has no expression on his face.
I mean, it's more of a real, it's a very inside joke. I'm actually not totally convinced that Mitul knows about it, but I know about it.
So then Ashley's coming up the stairs, and then Patricia's talking to the planner, and then she enters. And she's like, hi, Patricia, hi.
And she goes,
oh, hello, how are you? Which I've never even seen Patricia smile like that before.
Yeah.
It's like this huge.
I was like, wow. I was like, Patricia's being kind of like, this is that like Southern fakeness to hear about, like this huge smile, like, ha, how are you? But then I realized, no, Patricia wasn't like smiling because she was so happy to see Ashley. She was smiling because she was so happy that she was going to be able to throw out Ashley in a second.
Yeah, she doesn't have to wait by the door.
She's like,
anymore.
Oh, yes, I get to do it now, Mr. Kale.
And Ashley's like, well, in Southern charm tradition, we were just in the neighborhood, Patricia. And she's like, oh, yes, I can see that. And she nods at Kale.
Yeah. She goes, have you met Mr. Kale? He's a superfood.
Yeah. And then, of course, Ashley doesn't get her moment, so she just starts reciting all her lines. She's like, Patricia, I know what you've done, and the truth will come out.
What did Patricia do, Ashley?
She made her talk about Catherine.
Oh, no. Your free will was impinged.
So Kale is taking her out, and Wilson goes, there she goes. Yeah.
I know the best part also is that like when like Kale was dragging Ashley out, Patricia goes, Catherine, come here. And then Catherine stands by Patricia's side, and they sort of like stand side by side watching Ashley get sent off. So like, even if what Ashley said was true and that Patricia had manipulated this whole situation, that is such a boss move to be like, I'm with Kath and I'm watching you go. You fail for my scheme.
Later, biatch. So then, of course, Ashley is that person who gets caught shoplifting and then it's like, you're hurting me, when they take her out so she can try and see them later. She's like, yes. You're hurting me. Please don't push me. Don't push me so hard. Don't. You're pushing me out.
And Patricia's like, well, she was not going to bring her cat on a hot trailer roof in here, if you know what I'm saying. Anyone get the reference? Whitney, are you around, Mr.? No.
Except like, sticks and stones, Garsh.
Garsh, so, my bones.
Yeah, he's like just totally malfunctioning. He can't think of one reference.
I know. I'm rubber, you're glue, everything you say bounces off me and sticks onto Craig.
So Ashley is like sobbing on the phone to Thomas. See, of course she calls Thomas, who it turns out he's been behind this the whole time. You know, like, yeah. Go to the party. So she's outside sobbing to Thomas. And she's like, Thomas, they embarrassed me, Thomas. Oh, and Thomas, they were pushing me down the stairs. And I'm in heels. They were pushing me, Thomas.
It was so aggressive. I could have fallen and died. If only I hadn't said right beforehand, it's okay, I can walk myself out. Oh, they were so aggressive. In the way they stood sort of behind me as I walked myself down those stairs.
Yeah. And she says, she tells her friend, who looks just mortified that she stuck with Ashley. You know, it's mortified. Like, is being on TV worth it? You know, she's wearing like a wig and like a disguise.
Like a trench coat. She's like Madeline Stowe and 12 Monkeys running from like the cops.
Yeah. She looks like she's in a disguise. And Ashley's like, well, Thomas said I should call 911. Should I call 911? I'm going to. And the girl's like, let's just go. So then they walk
she's,
off.
The girl, actually, there's like a long moment. The girl is like very still because she's thinking for a moment, if I'm still, they won't see me. And then she's like, oh, there's a camera right there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to very slowly shake my head.
And then we see that all the girls are hanging off the balcony watching this whole thing. They're all just like hanging down, looking at her as she cries, cracking up. And so she starts walking off. And Catherine posted on her Instagram something they didn't show off the show, and that's all the ladies hanging off watching her walk away, and all at the same time they went, bye, Ashley! And cracking up.
That's hilarious.
And Patricia's upstairs going, ha ha, Thomas, you humiliated me. That's the best money I ever spent.
Yep. And then 1 month later, we see Ashley's social media. She's moved back to California, left Charleston behind. and she's now BFF with Landon.
Yeah. I mean, California, what a perfect...
great claimer of Southern Charm villains.
Yeah, what a perfect way to end it. A shot of her and Landon hugging. Oh, so good. What a great season finale. This has been a long ass episode. My goodness gracious.
Yeah, it was definitely a great season finale. And you know what? Before we wrap up for the week, why don't we do some Crappin's mailbag? We'll do one question because it's been a long show. Here we go. Okay, so Ashley Stacy says, "Gosh, what do you both think about Steph being a true arsehole to the what most people have said?" Oh, Shep, sorry, not Steph. I was like, Steph, what did Stephanie do? What do we think about Shep being an asshole to the homeless woman and him referring to her as nice cans and his pathetic apology? We addressed this last week on our recap.
Yeah, go listen to last week's recap.
But what we did not talk about.
I refuse to get that angry again.
But what we can mention is that Shep has since deleted his Twitter. So, sticks and stones may break his bones, but tweets will never hurt him. Never, yeah. Never hurt him.
Apparently, tweets hurt him. Bye, Ashy.
Yeah. So, That's it. We're doing a really quick mailbag today because it's a long episode.
Yeah, we're going to do a bunch of them.
Like, here's a question, and oh, sorry, we already answered it. Bye. Guess I should have read it beforehand.
Yeah, but go listen to last week. We raged against Shep, and frankly, like, it's our Friday now. I'm not going to rage, okay? Look at me. Look at the smile on my face, okay? Just saw Ashley get what's coming to her. I just saw Shep get what's coming to him. I'm happy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the reunion will be very interesting. Although, obviously, this won't be addressed in the reunion. But still, I want to hear what Shep has to say about all this Madison stuff. Because he's just been absolutely ridiculous this whole season. And, like, he needs therapy very intensely.
Yeah. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us this week. We will be back next week. Next week's a good Southern Charm reunion. It looks pretty juicy. And all our regular shows. Go get your show tickets, Houston and Tampa. And everybody else, especially in Charlotte and Nashville.
Those are next month.
So go get those tickets, and we will see you guys later. Love ya. Bye.
Bye, everyone.